This is the Young Farmers Podcast. I'm Lindsay Lesher-Shute. 2 weeks ago, over 100 farmers from across the country gathered in Washington, D.C. for our fourth annual Leadership Convergence. Convergence brings together young farmer leaders to learn about how they can change the future of agriculture. They learn how to be advocates for issues that they care about, how to engage in the policymaking process, and how to build a local network of support. And on the last day, farmers met with their members of Congress to tell them what they need to be successful.
I'm Steve Munno, organic vegetable farmer at Massaro Community Farm in Woodbridge, Connecticut. I've been a member of the National Young Farmers Coalition since 2011. The National Young Farmers Coalition works to change policy, build networks, and provide business services to ensure all young farmers have the chance to succeed. For $35 a year, you can join too. By becoming a member, you are helping to build a bright and just future for agriculture in the U.S. And you'll also get discounts like 10% off Johnny's Selected Seeds and 10% off Haas Tools. To join, go to youngfarmers.org.
Hey, I'm David Robles. I'm from Santa Cruz, California.
Danny Cuevas from South Texas.
Okay. Jeannie Bartlett, and I'm from Burlington, Vermont.
Jonathan MacArthur, and I am a young farmer from Arkansas.
Sometimes as a farmer, when you're in it every day, it can be tough to remember why you do the work.
Once you become a farmer, you become everything else. You know, you're a business owner, you're a marketer. It's complicated.
Because we're feeling pretty heavy about agriculture and the prospects for young farmers. People who have so much passion for farming and they're not able to access land, they're not able to have health care, they're not able to make a wage where they can eventually buy land or buy a house or raise a family.
Has it ever happened to you when you say one word and you repeat it so much that it doesn't make any sense anymore? I feel that that happens to us, and at some point in the season, me and my husband, Hunter, we were like, wait, wait a second, why are we farming again? I don't know. Well, it kind of makes sense. Yeah, but not really. So we're questioning a lot of things. So my name is Isabella Quiroz, and I run a vegetable operation with my husband.
Isabel just finished up her fourth season farming 1.5 acres of sustainable vegetables and berries with her husband in Mendocino, California.
I think I like to keep myself busy. I've always been involved in jobs or projects that are very demanding, so when I found myself farming, I was like, oh, well, surprise, surprise, another 24-hour job. Great. I really enjoy working outdoors and working with the community. I like to feel that what I do brings a direct impact into the environment and into the community. I am from Mexico, and I just moved here 4 years ago. I was working in Mexico doing community development through farming, and then I got married with my husband, now Hunter, and decided to move here to the States. I used to like to attend a lot of conferences and workshops, and I stopped doing that because I was feeling that there was not a lot of information or experiences that would be meaningful for what I'm doing. And I was hesitant, to be honest, to go to this one.
She was especially concerned about going because of the lobbying part of the conference. Like, maybe it wouldn't be legal for her to be part of it.
So I reached out to the organizers and I asked, hey, I don't want to do anything that's wrong. You know, I have a green card and just want to double check if I can be part of it. And they went and talked with a couple lawyers and a couple of organizations, and then they came back like, yeah, you can totally participate.
So she left the farm for Washington.
Well, it's the first time that I've ever been in D.C. It's really beautiful. It's, you know, you see all those movies and you see a lot of those buildings. And well, we were driving by, it's like, oh, I've seen that. Oh, it's actually bigger than what I thought. So I was very surprised in a good way. There was a lot of farmers. First of all, this convergence, I feel like it gave me a lot of resources and a lot of important topics that I'm having right now, like land access. As I was attending different workshops, I just kept thinking about my neighbors, like, oh, the mushroom lady could totally get that grant, or like my other friends can totally apply for that. So I'm actually really excited to get together with some of my neighbors and just talk with them and like, hey, listen, there's all these things that we could be doing right now. So everything was moving really quickly, and we suddenly were in a workshop on how to lobby and all the things that we were gonna say. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually doing this.
After 3 days of sitting in workshops and panels about the USDA, racial equity, the Farm Bill, everyone got to meet their representatives.
Wow, today has been super exciting because we all bust in from our conference center super early in the morning, everyone's dressed up, and then folks are just rolling out to different meetings with their members of Congress.
Working towards getting the Farm Bill passed.
This is critically important for the future of our agricultural system and supporting young farmers.
Tell them, like, give them a piece of our mind, you know, and say, like, this is what needs to happen. It needs to happen now.
I had two meetings on lobbying day. My first meeting, it was with Jared Huffman, Congressman Jared Huffman, and my friend Caroline Rayberger. She also farms in Mendocino County. So we went together, and he was really kind. He was very busy. He had a meeting, so he had to leave. So we stayed with his staffer. But that was really nice. The person that we met with actually had a lot of knowledge into agricultural related issues. So the conversation was flowing really nicely. We were talking about land access here in Mendocino County. We're seeing how the prices of the land are very inaccessible for vegetable farmers because we have to compete not only with the wine, we're in wine country here, but also now with all the marijuana industry. So we talked about that. We talked also about the importance of having a program for farmers to get trained. We talked about the importance of supporting programs like LAMP for the farmers market. And we talk about, you know, adjusting and just adjusting the programs to really reflect the changes in the demographics. That's something that needs to happen. They're really kind. They were really kind. But we were wondering, oh, are they just really nice people? Were there... was that genuine? But I feel that there was genuine interest in what we had to say. We were also sharing personal stories. So, for example, the person that we were meeting with, she knew the technicals on the Farm Bill, and we were talking about the importance of EQIP. A couple of years ago, we had a really big storm, and we lost our greenhouses. We lost a lot of money that night, and it was all of our savings, and we thought we were not going to be able to recover from that. So we're going to quit. Through that example, I was explaining to her that for new small-scale farmers, it's really important to have access to infrastructure because climate change is here, and you never know what is going to happen. The region where we're at, we would not be able to be financially sound without those structures. And I was explaining it to her that like 70% of our income comes from those greenhouses. So if you want to start in agriculture in your first generation like we are, how are you going to make it work? There's going to be a lot of investments that you need to do, and we need to have access to those type of programs. That's an example. I think that they understand the technicals and everything in paper makes sense. But when you can relate it to a personal story, in my case, yes, I lost my structures in one night. And for me to get access to fundings, to a loan, it would have taken a long time. And in farmer times and office times not necessarily go hand to hand.
Sometimes it only takes one story to change how a lawmaker feels. And that story can have a real impact on how they vote on national issues.
It was interesting because, especially for small farmers, I'm only farming in 1.5 acres, which is, we're not even part of any statistics. Oh, well, we are, but we're a minority within the minority. And I think it was a good example how a lot of people want to start a career in farming, and most of people start like us, but then they face these institutional challenges in which having access to certain types of grants is just very difficult.
After lobby day, everyone dispersed, going to the airports, getting in cars, going back home. Isabel left with a new sense of community and understanding exactly why she keeps farming.
I think if you go to a really good conference, it can really change the way you enter the next farming season.
We're like all on the same wavelength here.
Yeah, my brain just starts going and I'm like, oh sweet, we're gonna do all of these different things.
And it's re-energizing to go home and be like, the mission's real and I'm gonna continue to push this because I'm not the only one pushing it, and it's obviously important.
It's so important for all of us knowing that we're not in this alone.
But the impact of convergence was even more personal than she imagined.
I am an immigrant, and I'm very lucky. Everything has been legal and following what I'm supposed to do and so and so, but that doesn't mean that it's been really easy. I do want to say that I know that I'm more privileged than the majority of, well, than a lot of people that are trying to come in to this country. And but during this process of immigration, the process is designed to make you a little fearful of the system. It's a very long process, it's expensive, and all the way through it, there was this constant feeling of, oh, you, the foreigner, you don't belong here, you, the different. And that's something that I just hadn't felt before. So without really being conscious about this, I felt that I lost a lot of power, if you will. I didn't really notice when it happened, but I was a little more shy, a little more quiet. I was always very participative before I moved here, but I guess I was very intimidated. So it was very gratifying to first to find a group of people that I had so many things in common. It was very easy to engage in conversation with everybody. It was very relatable, every single example that I heard, and it was just really special. I just realized that I felt legally supported to participate, but also emotionally safe to feel that what I have to say is powerful and that it counts. It was really beautiful that I felt that a lot of or some of the power that I had lost through this process, I was able to get back.
Thank you, Isabel, and everyone else who was able to come and make their voices heard at Convergence this year. Your stories make a difference. If you're interested in starting a chapter of the National Young Farmers Coalition or attending our Convergence next year, go to youngfarmers.org, select our chapters tab where you can see the map of all of our chapters. We now have 41 chapters in 28 states. Check out the map. There may be a chapter near you already, but if not, you can write to us at organizing@youngfarmers.org. That's organizing@youngfarmers.org. There is a link to that email address where our awesome chapter organizer, Caitlin, will get back to you and help you get started. This week, I want to give a shout out to Meg Browning, who left us a really sweet review on iTunes. She says, "Thank you for adding this podcast to the growing list of resources that I can engage with to connect with other young farmers and have our voices heard." Thank you, Meg. We really appreciate this review. You too can be thanked for your review on this podcast. Next week, just leave us a quick review. It only takes a couple of minutes. Just open iTunes, go to the Young Farmers podcast, and you can rate us, and you can also leave us a quick review. Tell us what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, what you don't want to hear any more of. We're open to it all, and we appreciate all of your feedback. As always, this podcast was recorded at Radio Kingston and edited by Hannah Beale.